the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let's pray and we'll go on tonight. Lord, we thank you for the time now to open the Bible and to read from it and to be reminded of what the reason for the season is all about. And we thank you for the fact that you did come and you were born to die, to save, and to redeem. And we thank you for the opportunity to once again remember and to celebrate your great gift, the greatest gift in all the world. And we thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, I'd like to tell you, as I know you know this, but I'd like to just point three things out to you. Number one, the Christmas message is a message of joy. It says here in verse number 10, the angel said unto them, Fear not, fear not. Boy, you could just walk around all day telling people that, couldn't you? I mean, there's people that are afraid of something right now. They're very fearful. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings. You know, good tidings is the same thing as saying good news. Good news. And a bunch of people could handle some good news. We want good news. Well, you know what the greatest good news there ever was? In fact, the same phrase, good news or good tidings, is gospel. The gospel is the good news, and the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. The fact that he came, born to die, was crucified on a cross, and 3 days later rose from the grave and conquered death, paid for sin, so that you and I could have salvation, and we have that security and that assurance because of the fact that he rose from the grave, and he is God, demonstrating that he is God, and he has power over death. Not much of a promise. If he can't conquer death, not much of a promise for you and I. But the good news is the fact that he did conquer death. And so the next big event on most calendars is going to be Easter, which is the other half of this gospel. And praise the Lord for a country that remembers both, and many around the world still do. But the joy is because of the good news. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, let me stop here and say something. I just very quickly told you what the gospel is. That's the good news. The good news is not just that Jesus came, all right, as a baby. The good news is that God came. It says, in fact, Matthew chapter 1, they told him, the angel told Joseph, his name will be Emmanuel, which is God with us. God with us. This isn't just a baby. See, here, what's happening in our world today is that Christmas is lost. I don't know about you, but I have noticed this, and it's grieved me. It's made me sad. I go through town. I go to the post office every day. They've got speakers that blare on the streets. I go into a store. I go into a Sam's Club in Rapid City. I was in the airport yesterday for a little bit. I go different places, and I hear lots of Christmas music. KOTA had Mannheim Steamroller playing all day today. I don't know who Mannheim Steamroller is. I don't even know for sure what a Mannheim Steamroller is supposed to be, but they were playing it. Let me tell you something. I didn't listen to everything, but every time I got in the truck, that radio station was on, and they were playing something. And I recognized most of the tunes. Sometimes they would play a clip from an old Christmas movie or something like that. But here's what I kept noticing. Mannheim Steamroller, every time I listened to him, they sang about everything. They sang about everything you can imagine. When I walked into the post office, I could hear the street speakers blaring. And they sang about everything. I mean, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is dead. Oh, sorry, didn't mean to say that. Oh, Hope I didn't ruin it for you, but he is. By the way, you can say all that about Jesus. You know, Jesus is the one that watches over you and knows what you're doing and knows if you've been bad or good. I heard about Rudolph and his red nose. Frosty. I even heard a real classic, Santa Baby. Can I tell you something? If you walk around town, you walk into any store, you know who you don't hear sung about? You know who they're not talking about? The one who this is all about. Christmas has become about us somehow. Somehow Christmas is about us. Somehow they were even talking about how Charles Dickens wrote Christmas Carol. Look, I'm not telling you Christmas Carol's a bad story, but I will tell you this. It does take the focus off of and puts it on to helping our fellow man. And I'm telling you, you can give your fellow man all the food he can eat and $1 million, and he'll still die and go to hell. I think it's the Scrooge. You're a Scrooge when you don't give the gospel if you know what the gospel is. See, the good news is not that it's Christmas and Santa came. That's not the good news. The good news is that Jesus came, God's Son, God with us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh. It's God that came to dwell with us and to be with us. Someone said it this way, without the birth of God's Son, no one could be born of God. This birth of God is huge. I have a book in my library written by a doctor who was a Christian. And the title of the book is called The Chemistry in the Blood, or The Chemistry of the Blood. I read it. I thought it was fascinating. I asked one of my doctors one time, and I should remember to ask my newest doctor, latest doctor, the same question. But what the doctor explained is that when a baby is born, a baby has its own unique blood. Its own unique blood type. You can have a baby whose blood is different than their mother because of something called a placenta that blocks their system from her system. You say, well, what in the world's... Well, here's what's cool about that. According to the doctor that I read, according to others, they've determined that the blood type and the blood is determined not by the mother, but by the father. So whose blood was shed on the cross? Divine blood. Pure, innocent, holy God's blood. The virgin birth is absolutely necessary. And we sang about the blood tonight in our Christmas singing. And see, there's real joy. There's real joy when you understand who the Lamb of God is and the blood that was shed for you and I and why he had to come. That brings joy. But I'm telling you right now, nobody's getting any, and if you're an American, nobody's getting any joy out of Santa right now. And there's people trying to play Santa and give us all $600. That ought to make us joyful. It's not. We all know what a fleeting joy Christmas is without Jesus. And so I want to help you understand, the joy of Christmas is that God with us. Now here's the really neat thing about it. Jesus said, in John 14 and again in John 16, Jesus said, when I go back to heaven, I'm going to leave you the Comforter. I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit, my Holy Spirit. Those of you who are believers, my believers, the saved, you will have the Comforter, which means he's still with us. And so if you're saved, you still have Emmanuel. Some might say, well, if Jesus came back, I might, you know, maybe I'd believe and understand. Listen, God is still with those of us who believe. We have his Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And that's why Christians can have joy. Because of him coming and coming to dwell among us. So, for unto you is born this day. Fear not. I bring you good tidings of great joy. And another version of the Bible, I don't remember which one it is, but it says something other than which shall be to all people. And it says something like which upon who, you know, I choose to call. That's not what it says in here. King James says to how many people? All people. Don't ever let anybody tell you that God didn't love the world. He just loved some of the people in the world. No, God so loved the world. And this good tidings was for all people. And it doesn't matter if they're people that you might not like and I might not like. He still died for those people too. And so that brings up the next point. Not only is it a message of joy, but it's a message of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, it says there in Luke chapter 2, for unto you is born this day in the city of David. They said the one thing to these shepherds that meant everything. If they'd have said king, and certainly Jesus was king, but if the angels had said king, the shepherds would have thought, we got one of those, he's not very good. But they said the one word that got those shepherds excited, Savior. Savior. A Savior. Someone who comes to save you as a gift. To save you from your sin. Matthew 1, the angel told Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And when you're saved from your sins, that means you're saved from hell, because that's where your sins take you. And so you're saved from hell. That's a message that poor ragamuffin shepherds could get excited about. And so it's a message of love, because God gave. On Sunday afternoon, I was talking to Sean, who got saved, and I was telling him, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's by faith and by his grace that we have the faith to be saved, to even believe on him and trust him for salvation. It's all of grace. It's the gift of God. It's not of works. And I said, Sean, is there any reason why you can't pray right now and get saved? He started to cry. I said, is there something wrong? He said, I just don't think I deserve it. And I said, you're right. You don't. And neither do I. It's a gift. It's not of works. The thief on the cross hanging next to Jesus could get saved, and he didn't do any good thing. The man who wrote the song Amazing Grace used to be a slave trader. And God saved him. And that man, John Newton, said, one day I want to sit down in heaven with the thief on the cross, because he and I have a lot in common. And so it's a message of love. And I think if you are saved, you can love anybody else out there. Even Democrats. Now think about it. Even rhinos. Even your neighbor whose canoe just flew out of his yard and landed through your roof yesterday or whatever. Listen, God's love is undeserving, undeserved. We don't deserve it. We shouldn't have it. It's not ours. He didn't look down and say, oh, those guys already think right. I'll save them. In fact, I think he loves to save the ones who aren't thinking right, to prove that he can. It's a message of love. God so loved the world. It's by grace we're saved, not of works. It's a gift of God, lest we would boast on it. It's totally the gift of God. The wages of sin is death, hell. But the gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, the greatest gift ever, ever, ever was given in that manger. And it was truly a gift. The message of joy the message of love. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, he was rich, but he became poor. I mean, that's the reason why we remember it was a barn. He was rich. He had a palace. He was a king. He became poor. And again, if they'd told the shepherds, a king is born in the palace, the shepherds wouldn't even think about going. Well, we won't be allowed in there. But when they said he's born in a barn, the shepherd thought, well, I go there all the time. That won't be a big deal. Isn't that awesome? He came real low so that nobody could miss out. In fact, the ones having a hard time are the ones that think they're real high. He was rich. He became poor so that through his poverty we could be rich. Sure would like a bunch of people in Washington, D.C. to follow that example. I'm sorry I'm getting into politics. But that's the true demonstration of love, isn't it? That's the true demonstration of what love is when you give up for others. And that's our great example for us as Christians. And I appreciate others who follow that example. The message of joy, the message of love. And then thirdly, it's a message of peace. It says in Luke chapter 2, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It's a message of peace. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Philippians 4, 6 says, it's a peace that passes all understanding. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, by grace we're saved. And verse 14 says, he is our peace that breaks down the middle wall of partition between us. He is the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9, 6 says. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so when I get out of my truck in the last week or two, and of course I'm grieved with the direction of our country and our world, and sad for a lot of people who don't know what to do. And I step out of my truck and I shut the door and I start to walk towards a business on Main Street, even in Custer. And I'm not trying to make them sound terrible, but they're not singing about the Prince of Peace. They're singing about Santa Baby. They're singing about Frosty. And I'm not telling you that you can't listen to Walking in a Winter Wonderland. Or Sleigh Bells Jingle, Ring, Ring, or whatever it is. And all those other songs that are just songs, but and they're not necessarily bad songs, but they leave out the Prince. And then I can't help but wonder and tie the two together and connect the dots and say, so here's the problem. We're not singing, we're celebrating Christmas, but we're not celebrating the Prince anymore as a whole. Now I know the Christian walking down the street, we're just excited that Christmas is happening, you know, and we translate all that into Jesus, okay? But it's not just happy holidays or seasons greetings. It's Christ. Yesterday I was in the car for a more lengthy time, and I don't normally listen to KOTV all the time. It's typically the station that's on if I don't have a CD playing. So I had extra windshield time as I was going to Rapid City to pick up Caleb and do things. And a couple different times I was jumping in and out, and I was listening to Rush Limbaugh. And I don't know if anybody else was listening yesterday or not, but there's a guy who's lived for the last couple decades for a cause. A lady called him and said, I'm not trying to be pessimistic, but I think it's over. And you could tell it got to him. He said, I want to say she's a seminar caller, but I don't think she is. And he was just kind of flummoxed. But I don't know if you've listened or know this, but in the last week or month or two, he's given much more airtime to Jesus Christ. He's claimed him. And yesterday he said, talent on loan from God, and I really do mean that. Like never before. Of course, I knew I couldn't do it, but I wanted to pick up the phone and say, Rush, as an American, I'm frustrated like you are, but this world's not my home. I'm just passing through. It's okay because I know who the prince is, and I know where I'm going. And this Bible tells me this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And my heart goes out to people who mean well. But here's what I want to say. If you're a Christian, if you serve God with your life, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not in vain. And otherwise, it is in vain. No matter how noble and how good of a cause it is, if it's not in the Lord, it's in vain. Because it will end. And the people in our church have heard me say this many times, and this is what I'd have told that man if I'd have called him yesterday, and there's no way I was going to call him. Rush, the difference between the Bible and those beautiful documents on the wall out there called the Constitution and Bill of Rights is that the people who wrote that are dead and they can't make sure it still gets followed. But the one who wrote this is still in charge. And I'm okay. I'm okay. In fact, I've read a lot of people who didn't have a Bill of Rights, and God used them and took care of them just fine. And the Prince of Peace is what we're neglecting. And I know you know this, but in the average public school system, Santa is welcome and Frosty is welcome. But that book right there is not welcome. And then we wonder, what's going on? What's going on? We ignored the prince. And you don't have peace in your own heart if you're not saved. Until you get saved, there's no way you can have that peace that passes all understanding. Jesus said, peace I leave you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. So sad to listen to an explanation of wassailing today. Have you ever heard that? Here we go, wassailing, da-da-da-da-da-da. Have you ever heard that? It's an old Christmas song. Or I guess. Wassailing is about these people that would just go door to door and they just drink more liquor at each door. And the wassailing was, the wassail ale was liquor. This was getting explained. Look, I don't know if people even know what wassailing is, but there sure is a lot of wassailing going on at Christmas time. Because that's their peace. Man, it runs out. The bottle runs out. Your money to buy it runs out. And I'm telling you tonight, the only thing that gives me peace that passes all understanding is understanding 2 Corinthians 5:21 when it says, God made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin. God took Jesus and traded places with me in the record. And so I got Jesus' clean, righteous record, and Jesus got my lousy record and paid for it on the cross. And that's why I'm justified because of that. And I'm given his inheritance. And I'm given his status as a son of God. I'm given his heritage and his future home because he traded places with me. That's a peace that passes all understanding. Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I'm giving you a peace that passes all understanding. Psalm 119:165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So I'm reminded of a story that happened a long time ago in America, back in the 1800s, the middle of 1800s, about 1863. A guy named Henry was really having a tough December. His wife had passed away. You know how she died? It was his second wife. Her first wife died. Second wife just died. You know how she died? Her daughters were helping her with her hair, and they were doing this special kind of wax where they roll her hair in tin or something, tin foil, I don't know, whatever. They were doing their hair. I don't have enough to worry about that anyway. But this was in the 1860s, and her hair caught on fire. The whole thing caught on fire, and it killed her in a few days. A few days later, she died from all the burns. What a horrible way to die. Just an accident. About the same time, his son Charles, who he did not want to join the Union Army against the Southern Army in the Civil War, joined it anyway, and he got a message that Charles was severely wounded at the Battle of New Hope Church in Virginia. He's just brokenhearted. So here he is, it's December, and his world is not going well. He's having what we call now a blue Christmas. And by the way, that's a song too. Never mind. I think I got my point across. And then he hears these bells, you know, chiming Christmas Day. It's Christmas Day. Ching, ching, you know. And he sat down and wrote these words. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And I thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And this is a lot of people today. There's a lot of people right now. Yay, Christmas. It'll be over and done with, and then what? Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. If you read the Bible and you say, peace on earth, goodwill to men, ha! Boy, Jesus failed at that. No, he didn't. There's a lot of people who have peace inside. You can't see it, but it's there. You can see the results of it, but it's there. Our story on Sunday night was this family who got robbed on Christmas. All their stuff. Imagine going home tonight and everything in your house has been taken. Because they knew you'd be here at Christmas Eve service. So they just, you know, they had a couple hours to clean you out. Would you still have Christmas? Should. Why? Because he's the Prince of Peace. And all this stuff is just stuff. And we're going somewhere. And I just think, and I do not know for sure what God's thinking, and I don't claim to know, but I just imagine, because of my Bible study and my life with God, I just imagine that sometimes along the way, and those times could be right now, our God wants us to long for going home. would like us to long for stop looking horizontally at everybody and everything and every issue. Because if Christmas is just human, you're missing it. And to look vertical. And to remember what it's all about. And to remember what he did for us and how he came as a rich man, a rich being, the richest in the world. He came and became poor for you and I so that we could become rich if we would believe him and trust him. And so it can be a message of joy, a message of love, and a message of peace. I mentioned, and I was kidding my in-laws a little bit ago, my outlaws, my in-laws. They got saved close to 40 years of age out of a life of religion of doing, out of a life of old-fashioned religion doing. But when they got saved and they found the true salvation in the Savior, there was joy. And there still is joy. And there's love. And there's peace. Peace that passes all understanding. It could be that God is going to allow all of us to go through tough times so that those of us who know him can exemplify something that the others are going to say, hold it. I only got $600. Why are you so happy? How much did you get? I gave all 600 to missions. Oh, well then why are you so happy? Because I don't need this world to be happy. And maybe that'll cause people to say, well, can I ask you about that? Yeah, can I know more about that? And I think it is happening. I think it's happening. We have seen adults getting saved in the last few months. We have seen parents and young people that aren't even married yet, but they're adults getting saved. And we're seeing good things. And yeah, the world, there's some people out there haven't seen a good thing for 8 or 10 months. Man, I'm enjoying some good stuff. Really, I am. I'm enjoying some good stuff. And I keep beating this story, but Tyler's sitting over here, started out 2020, working at the Wyoming oil field, says to Stephanie, babe, 2020 is going to be our year. Got a good job, oil field. Yeah. And then everything fell apart, and you're not working on the oil field anymore. But he said it again yesterday or 2 days ago when we were having our Bible study. This has been a great year. 2020 has been our year. My wife got saved. My friends are getting saved. Don't make the money I was making, but it's been a good year. Somebody gave you a car. It wasn't a Cadillac, but it was a car. God takes care of his people. And that's the message. And we didn't read the rest of it, but the shepherds left, and they just praising God. What's wrong with you shepherds? You guys crazy? No, we found the Savior. You go find him too if you want. Oh, you're just a bunch of low-life shepherds. Well, they miss out, don't they? He's joy, he's love, and he's peace. And if you don't have it, you need to get saved. You need to trust Christ as your Savior. Not just in your head, you need to be saved by trusting him with your whole heart. Let's bow for prayer, and then we'll be dismissed tonight.